Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Healing Hour, and I am your host, Minister Arthur Good Justice III, and I am so glad to be with you this evening. As always, we have to let you know this is Purpose Kingdom Network, and we are on blogtalkradio.com. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. I need you guys to call in. I need you to listen up and call that number. That is 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I'm so happy to be with you on this evening. And I've been on a journey with the Lord. And it's been a journey that's different. And I'm excited to see what God has for my life. But you know how this goes. It goes like this every single time. The first thing we always do is we listen to for the Word of God. What is the scripture that we are going to read this evening? And that scripture is Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guys, I know we always say be careful or be anxious for nothing, and we always talk about prayer and supplication, but there's some steps that we can't miss. After we pray and supplication, it means to pray humbly. Then we also get to the next part, and that is thanksgiving. Anxiety can't exist when you have a thankful heart. The pressure of anxiety cannot exist when you have a thankful heart. And then he says, make your request known. Be specific with God. And the next thing he says is, after you pray with humility, you have a thankful heart, and you make your request specific, then God's peace will surpass your understanding. And your heart will be kept through Christ Jesus. It's an easy step process. So I just want you to remember, next time you get anxious, you get a little tired or overwhelmed, that it's okay. It's okay. Just be anxious for nothing. Don't rush nothing. Don't be quick to act on nothing. Prayer with humility and thanksgiving will give you peace. All right. The next thing we are doing is our evangelism tip. I've been saying this tip for the past couple shows now. I hope somebody is getting it. Listen, your everyday supermarket, the past, your ShopRite, your First Grocers, your Aldi's, all of these supermarkets, they have to throw certain items out way before their expiration date. Non-perishables, fresh produce, all have to go out at least 10 days after put on the shelf. That is beyond its shelf life. So before they throw it in the trash, you can go to your local supermarket and say, hey, what are the items that are going out What are the items that you are taking off the shelves? Can I collect them? And when you do that, they will be glad to give you items for your church pantry. I think that as a body, we have to be able to have food in a pantry stored away so that the church can supply the needs of the people. During the pandemic, we were able to connect with the food bank. We were able to connect. We have a food bank that we have. We have a pantry that we have. And we were able to, every month, supply our community with food. At first, we were doing it twice a month. And then, we began to narrow it down to a month. But at the beginning of the pandemic, we were giving out food twice a month because people weren't working. And if in case we have another global shutdown like we had again, we have to be prepared with supplies. All right? So let's reach out to our local supermarkets and let's ask for their resources. Amen? All right? This is how we kingdom build. This is how we build for our future, by getting in to our community, by supplying the needs of the people. This is what God has called us to do. All right, so now, I was telling Pastor Toy before we got on the air, I said, I got a surprise for you guys. I'm only going to share with y'all. I haven't shared it with a lot of people. I haven't put it on social media. I barely told three people in my family, but I got a little secret that I'm telling you guys. So a couple weeks ago, literally 2 weeks ago, I was going into church and I was having a hard day. I woke up, my basement was flooded with water. I had to figure out how to get the basement unflooded. And by the grace of God, we got that situation taken care of. It cost me a lot of money, but we got it taken care of. Then the next thing you know, I tell my pastor, hey, I'm going to be late for church, but I'm going to be there because I had to cook for the church. Yes, I am a minister, and I am still on the kitchen staff. You know, I tell everybody, if you want to be a good preacher, you got to start on the kitchen staff. But I'm still on it. It's been about 15, 16 years. I'm still on the kitchen committee, and I had to cook for the church that evening. So I got all this food in my house. I got to take it to the church because if I don't, then the members don't eat, and I got a flooded basement. So I called the company. They said it could come out right now, and they fixed the problem, and they get rid of the water, and it cost me $700. Yes, it cost me $700. I had to figure out where the heck to get $700 from, but I figured it out. Then I go to church, and I look like who did it, and it looked like a car hit me. I come in with a hoodie, pair of jeans on, pair of sneakers. Don't even think I matched that day. I get the food inside the church, and we're having service, and I'm trying to stay focused on the service, and I'm trying to, do my job. My job is to take care of my pastor. I act as his armor bearer, as his right hand, and I'm making sure he's okay, and I'm going with the flow. And I'm frustrated because I just had a hard, hard morning. As service goes on, pastor begins to interrupt everything and says, I feel like it's time for elevation. I feel like it's time for elevation. And he called two ministers that are at our church, his brother and his sister-in-law. And, we grew up together. We're around the same age. And he says, it's time for you to be ordained as elders of the church. And I was excited for them and praise God, and I'm, and everybody's, happy and excited for their next move? And he says, yes, you're going to be ordained as elders of the church. Bless God, and I'm excited. And then the next thing you know, he calls up the deacons. And one of the deacons in training just so happens to be my brother. And I'm excited for him. He says, it's time for y'all to be installed as deacons. And, I'm happy for my brother. I'm excited for him because it's his time. He's labored. He's served. And he's doing an awesome job as a deacon. And if anybody who knew who my brother was, they would be like, wow, he's a deacon in the church. Yes, my brother is a deacon in the church. My brother was one of those people that whatever came up came out. And his language was colorful when he was in the world. Is that the best way to put it? He had a very colorful tongue. And he changed his life, and he's working in the vineyard. And God is using him mightily. And then he goes down the line and he says, hey, there are ministers in training. And he says, in January, you will be licensed and ordained as ministers of this ministry. And then after he says, okay, everything said and done, he gets down to one of our saints and he says, it's time for you to be called to the office of the evangelist. And we were excited for her. So I'm thinking, okay, we're going to move on. We're going to go continue service. And then he says, Minister Arthur, come here. Okay, yes, sir. What's going on? And he says, it's time for you to come up. He said, God told me to place you in the office of the pastor, and it's time for you to start your ministry. He said, we are going to start working on your church this month. I said, he said, no, we're going to start working on the process as soon as possible. So I can't hold you back. If I could call you up to the position of pastor, and it's time for you to get your ministry going. And he said, it's going to break my heart that you're not next to me. I want you next to me. I want you with me. But it's time for you to lead your own flock. Now, I just told y'all the day I had a $700 day. Can I call it that? I had a $700 day. And I did not intend on my $700 day in a flooded basement because the toilet erupted in my basement. So it's not just water, it was sewage. And then I had to pay for everything to get cleaned out. I did not expect my day to go that way. I was frustrated, I was irritated, and I was broke. And y'all know I don't like spending a whole bunch of money unnecessarily. I get to church and life changes. Life literally changes while I was frustrated. And then God shows me this scripture. Psalms 4:1-5. To the chief musician of Nebanoth, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarge me when I was distressed. Let me say this to somebody again. Thou hast enlarged me when I was distressed. A lot of people think that increase comes when you are high. having your best day. They think that increase comes when it's sunny outside and the roses are blooming and the weather is nice. Increase comes in distress. While frustrated, while upset, while broke, while the kids are acting up, while the family is chaotic, while bad health is going on around you, while you don't have a job, God decides to add increase. And the scripture continues and says, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing Sira? In other words, how long will you dwell in your distress if you understand that it's the time for increase? That's why David said, have mercy on me, because I thought my distress was about me getting kicked again, was about me getting knocked down again. But my distress was about my enlargement. It was about my growth. It was about my new position. And then he goes down and says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and fear not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. When he was distressed, he said, I understand that I'm set apart. I understand who I was meant for, who I was called to. And that despite my frustration, I still have to give a sacrifice of righteousness. I'm going to tell you guys that frustration is not a bad thing. A lot of us think frustration is something that meant to torment us. It's our emotions responding to a situation. Every ministry, every good ministry, is birthed through frustration. Can I prove it? Exodus 2:11-15, it says, and it came to pass in the days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out in the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Moses' ministry did not start at the burning bush. It didn't start when he talked to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. His ministry started when he saw his people being persecuted. His ministry started when he was so frustrated that he felt like something had to be done about the way his brethren was being treated. It didn't start when he said, let my people go. It didn't start at the burning bush. It started when he got frustrated. I'm telling somebody right now, the reason why you're frustrated is because something is being stirred up. Something is about to be released. Something on the inside of you is being built up and it's being forecast and it's being shown to you. And you are about to do something with your frustration. Your frustration is about to be a ministry. So what do we do with our frustration? Because the scripture goes on in Exodus 4. And it says, now therefore, that is Exodus 4 verse 12. And it says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, sin, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt save. And the Lord, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. Moses was giving all types of excuses. I mean, he was running down the list. I can't speak well. What am I going to do with the people? Have any of you been so frustrated that you started creating excuses? Reasons why you can't do. Reasons why this can't be done. Reasons why you are still where you are. Reasons why you can't move forward. You've got excuses, but you ain't got solutions. And while God is downloading the solutions, you're telling God what you can't do. And God is getting angry. If he got angry with Moses, he can get angry with us. And he said, can't the brother speak? I want you to lead. Some of you, the reason why you are frustrated is because you're out of position. God told you to do one thing, but you try to do the whole list. He only told you to do this thing. He said, Moses, I want you to go back into Egypt and get my people out. He didn't say, Moses, I want you to be the best speaker. I want you to be the best preacher, the best teacher. I want you to go get them and bring them out. Your brother is going to be the one doing all the talking. Why are we talking about what you're going to say? I want you to go get him. Let your brother speak. You lead. Maybe you're frustrated because you're out of position. Maybe the frustration is not the call. It's the fact that you're trying to wear too many hats. You can't always lead and preach. You can't always preach and witness out in the street. Somebody got to do one thing. You got to let somebody go do something else. There has to be a team effort. You are not a one-man army. You can't do everything at one time. It's impossible. And there's a lot of people out there in the body of Christ, in ministries, trying to wear every hat. If you don't find somebody that God has called, that God has sent to do the next task, if you don't call somebody to do what you aren't great at, the reason why there are managers, there are CFOs, and there are CEOs, is because the owner said, I can't do it all. And when you decide to do it all, somebody else is missing their opportunity. And you can't be effective trying to win every moment. You can't be effective trying to wear every hat. If I can't be a plumber, a carpenter, an electrician, all at once. One of those things I'm great at, the other I learned on the way. I can't do it all. And if you're trying to do it all, you're frustrated because you haven't given your time to one thing to be great at. God says, I'm upset. I called your brother. Can't he speak? You lead, he speaks. Evaluate what you're doing too much of and what you're not doing enough of that you're supposed to do. Your frustration. Is it a bad thing? Your frustration is a barometer. It's a measuring stick. It's a guideline. Frustration is supposed to focus you. Because you're supposed to think what you're frustrated with. A lot of you don't understand that the frustration is the hammer. And you got to hammer down those nails and you got to build this thing up. But you got to be able to be wise with what you have. Let's look at Exodus 32. Because Moses had a lot of things going on when it came to, his frustration. He had a lot of things going on when it came to his emotions. And Exodus 32:19, and it says, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. Moses was so frustrated with the people that his time with God, his time that he spent when God wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone, when he wrote down and documented his holy contract with us, when he sat there and wrote the Constitution of Heaven, and Moses got so mad with them that he broke it. Don't get so upset. Don't get so frustrated that you break or that you destroy what God gives you. Moses had a moment with God. He had a moment that nobody will ever be able to have. He had such a special moment that nobody on this planet knows what God's hand looks like. The Bible talks about it, but nobody knows what it looks like among you. So here we are, Moses being so frustrated with the people that he breaks Remember, the Bible says be angry, but sin not. It's okay to be angry. We need to let people know that it's okay with being frustrated. It's okay with being mad. It is not what you're upset about. It is how you respond. It's your response to the situation. It's how you handle the situation. God says, be angry. But sin not. Not only did he say, be angry, but sin not. Remember, he already said, be angry, but sin not. But we also read, be anxious, or be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But we have to say prayer and supplication and thanksgiving so that you can get a peace that surpasses understanding. It's a process. We have to learn how to channel our anger. But that ain't the only time Moses got angry. Moses got frustrated. Numbers 20, 1 through 13, it says, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Meriah died there and was buried there. I gotta tell you the story of Marion one day. I promise you, I've never heard nothing like this, but I gotta tell you the story of Marion one day. It says, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the land, before the Lord? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thy assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and the beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in thy eyes of the children of Israel, therefore shall ye not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. this is the warrior of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Moses, tired of the murmurings and the groanings and the complaining of a people that he freed from slavery, of a people that he freed from getting beaten and persecuted and put to work with no funds. He was so tired of them than disobeying God. It is possible to be upset and angry with the flock. It's okay. It is possible for your anger and your frustration to be justified. If anybody is listening who's got kids, it is possible to be angry at the kids and it be justified. It is possible to be angry with your spouse and it be justified. It's possible to be angry with your church members and it be justified. But you can be right in how you feel and wrong in how you respond. You can be right with how you feel. They could have done something wrong, and they could have handled it the wrong way, and they could have did what you told them not to do. But regardless of how they feel or what they did, it doesn't matter. It's about how you respond. And I can understand. You did all this for these people, and they still got problems. And some of us got some people in our lives. We done did everything for them. We done did all the things that we should do. I mean, we done worked and we done labored and we done made them and put them in places that they would never been without your help. And they have done nothing but be ungrateful, not empathetic, continue to have their hands out without one thank you, without one offer of help when you were in need, yet you still have to respond the way God tells you to respond. Now, I'm going to say this. You're going to have to respond the way God tells you to respond. Because I'm going to tell you, God is a righteous God, and he doesn't allow his people to be walked over. He doesn't allow his people to be footstools and doormats. But he does require you to seek him first with everything. And the word also says that vengeance is his, saith the Lord. So, before you respond, ask God how you should respond. But Moses, he struck this rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. Aaron was supposed to speak to the people. Aaron was supposed to take care of the people. Moses was supposed to speak to God. Moses was responding to the people when he should have been talking to God. Moses was responding to the murmuring of the people when he should have talked, so he should have been having conversations with God. Are you responding to people when you should be talking to God? Are you responding to their actions when you're supposed to be talking to God? Are you responding to what they did when you were supposed to be hearing from the Lord? Moses was supposed to talk to God. Aaron was supposed to talk to the people. They had a system. This is the plan from the beginning. But Moses got entangled with the people, forgot about God. So he fed the people his frustrations and not God. there are times where you will be frustrated and you will respond and your frustration will get results. Hear this. You can get results out of your frustration. You can get results out of your anger. Yes, you can pastor frustrated. You can pastor sad. You can minister. You can minister depressed. You can minister overwhelmed. You can minister bitter, and you may get results. But your bitterness will taint the living water. Your anger will pollute the water. Your frustration will pollute the water. You can get results from your feelings, but your feelings will pollute the water. God says, I am naming this land, this rock, this flow, Meribah. I'm naming it death. This is where the people died. This is where they fell down, poisoned by serpents. This is a place of death. I'm naming this area death. You might get results, but it's still dead. This is why we have to be careful. It's okay to be angry, but sin not. Seek God. Be careful for nothing. Seek God. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock of your salvation, the rock of ages, the rock that stands in the gap. Speak to the rock. When you're frustrated, speak to the rock. God, what would you have me give to the people? What do you want your water to be? How do you want your water to flow? I know what they're doing. I know people can be frustrated. People can be aggravated. People can drive you up a wall. But I'm telling you right now, it is not about them, it's about you. And when you decide that I am going to do what God has called me to do, no matter what they do, then you are called and you are set apart and you are making a righteous sacrifice. Remember when David said, I understand that I'm enlarged when I'm distressed. So because I'm enlarged when I'm distressed, because I know that this is a new level, because of my frustration, I understand that this new level requires righteous sacrifice. I'm telling somebody right now, I know you're frustrated. I know you're tired. I know you're upset. But hear from God. And while you're upset, know that He can give you peace. He said, I'll give you peace that surpasses your understanding. When you used to get mad, all of a sudden, you'll tune them out. When they used to make you mad, they'll make you laugh. Have you ever gotten to the point where what used to drive you crazy all of a sudden made you laugh, made you smile? If you haven't gotten that experience, trust me, if you begin to pray humbly with thanksgiving, with direction to God, He'll give you peace. And you'll try to figure out why what used to fluster you makes you smile. There's some things that used to drive me up a wall. Now I can walk past like nothing happened. I'm telling you, that's going to be somebody's testimony. That's going to be somebody's word. And don't take it lightly. Don't take it as ordinary things. when you realize what used to tick you off, what used to set you off, no longer bothers you, I need you to bless God, because that is what overcoming power looks like. Some of you are being birthed in ministry out of your frustration. Don't ignore the frustration. Ask God to give you clarity. Some of you are in the ministry, or doing your work, or working a job, and you are frustrated. Understand that that is signs for growth. Frustration is a barometer. It's a measuring stick. God, what is he growing? What is he planting? What is he starting with your frustration? Right now, there's somebody on the line, and you're trying to figure out, God, I'm frustrated. I'm irritable. I'm angry and tired. I've tried so many different things. I've tried to do it my way. I tried to do it somebody else's way. What am I going to do? And it's very simple, because the Bible says that the only way we are going to solve these problems, the only way we are going to get a real fix, is through the blood of the Lamb. It's through Christ Jesus. And the Bible says the only way we can get the answers to our questions, the solution to our problems, is if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If we ask him to come into our hearts, if we recognize that we are sinners, and the only way that we can get saved and receive eternal life is through asking God to forgive us for our sins, and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I'm believing that not only did he die, but he rose, and he's coming back again. And you ask him to be Lord of your life. If you do that, you have access to Christ Jesus when you're in trouble. But not only do you have access to Christ, you have access to God, you have access to a body of believers who are struggling, who are walking this path, who are trying to figure it out just like you. And you also have people who are figuring some things out, able to encourage you and walk you through the process. You have the body of Christ, a congregation of believers. God will bless you with people. Not everybody is going to frustrate you or make you angry, but there are some people who are going to put joy in your life. There are some people who are going to walk you through the process, and there are some people that are going to hold your hand through good and bad times. There are some people who are going to call you when something's wrong, and you ain't telling nobody when anything is wrong. God will bless you with good relationships. God will bless you with friends. But the Bible also says, if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. If you want love, love others. And the first step to really understanding what real love looks like is to understand salvation. So I believe right now that there is somebody who said, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it your way, and I accept you as Lord over my life. I believe somebody did that. So right now, because I believe someone did that, I am going to pray for that believer. I'm going to pray for that soul that made the best decision they've ever made in their life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Because we believe that as we begin to preach and preach and and encourage the body that there is somebody who has accepted you as Lord over their life. God, I ask that you talk and minister and witness to that person, that you begin to stir up the gifts and the creativity into that person. And God, I ask that you begin to witness and minister to their situation, that you show them the love that you have for them, and you surround them with more love. God, I thank you that you are increasing the body. You said in these last days you will pour out your spirit on all men. So I believe that you're pouring out your spirit and you're calling your people. You said your sheep know your voice and you're calling your people in these last days and you're gathering your people. And they're coming with scars. And they're coming with different illness, and they're coming with different ideas, and they're coming not like church. And God, that's okay, because you called your people. You didn't call tradition. So God, as you call your people, let those who are servants be prepared to properly deal with your people. Let us lay down our prejudice and our ideals and our upbringing and focus on Jesus Christ saving alone. Let us understand that we are one body. Despite our differences, how we look, feel, act, we are one body. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So for those who accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just want to say welcome to the body. And the Bible says that when one person gets saved, heaven celebrates. The angel rejoices. So right now, heaven is throwing a party. This heaven is throwing a party because you decided to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm celebrating with them. I hope that you got something from this lesson, from this word today. I hope that you got something from this ministry in this afternoon. And right before we close out, I'm going to ask that Pastor Toya come as she begins to give the announcement and she lets you know what's going on with this kingdom. Amen.
Hallelujah, God. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Okay, wait a minute, y'all. I got to calm down. I just got to calm down. Y'all don't understand. If y'all knew the conversation that we were having before the word came forth this evening, you will understand why my spirit is just on 1,000 right now. So y'all got to excuse me for a second because God is so good. Because number one, can I share for a second before I get the announcement, Minister Reverend Art?
Because
y'all don't
it.
Understand, I've been down for the past few weeks, just frustrated. And it's funny because I think I've been frustrated because I've been under little attacks here and there and here and there. I mean, like just all around at home, at work, in the ministry, just everything that could try to break you, to try to distract you, to try to keep you from pushing forward. And it was just so amazing because when you said how God would get you to a place that the things that used to upset you don't even bother you the same way. And what I realized was when those things that used to send me off to the left was no longer sending me off to the left, little nitpicking things just started happening until I got to a place where I have been just frustrated with everything. But you need to understand how I'm looking at that frustration now with the spirit of expectation. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Because now I understand a little bit better that this isn't a thing. It's not a situation where I'm being torn apart because I'm being torn apart, but it's a situation where Satan is trying to make me let go. Now I understand why I keep saying I'm still standing. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still, thank you. You have been listening to the Healing Hour, and yes, this has been a healing, I don't know about for y'all, but this has been a healing hour for me this evening. Hallelujah, God. We bless and thank God for Reverend Arthur Burgess the Third. I'm sorry, because, see, hallelujah, another shout. Because I've been saying to him for almost a year, Pastor. Pastor Arthur Burgess the Third. Hallelujah, God. And his obedience and his willingness under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit of God. We praise God for him. We praise God by faith for that soul who has given your life to Christ this evening. Now, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God. That is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening, right here on Purpose Kingdom Network. If you notice, I have not told you who is coming forth because I don't have the exact schedule. I just have the exact time. So I want you to come and just be blessed under the unctioning of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. We would like to have you follow us at Facebook as well as at LinkedIn. We're at Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, and concerns to us directly at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Know that we love you with the love of Christ. Again, we thank each and every one of you for joining in. Pastor, the ministry is back in your hands.
Oh, my God. I knew it was going to open up a can of worms, but I said that. I knew it was going to start something. And I expected you to go a little further, but you were behaving yourself. You're doing good. but I thank you guys for listening. I thank you guys for, allowing me to grow. Purpose Kingdom, when I started this, I was a licensed minister. The next thing you know, I was an ordained minister, and now I'm on another journey, and it started with PKN. So if it were not for you, I would not have been able to sharpen in my gift, to meet so many different people, to dig deep and reach out to so many different people. I got connections to start a ministry because of this ministry, and I kept pouring into it. And I kept figuring out who can I call and who can I reach out to. And it was done because of PKN. And I bless God for Purpose Kingdom Network, because if it were not for Purpose Kingdom Network, I promise you the spiritual growth that I have or that I'm getting, because I'm still on this journey, y'all. And nobody just stops at one point. It was because PKN. Y'all let me make mistakes. Y'all let me figure it out. Y'all called me and let me know when something was wrong and how can I fix it. And I thank God for Pastor Toy. And don't think I'm not going to be calling her. She don't understand. She told me something, and my antennas went up. She said something to me, and my eyebrow raised a little bit. So bless God for you. May we meet again. And when we meet again, let it be with God. In Jesus' name. Can't wait to see you again. God bless.
Jesus bless. He raised me. I do not lose. She saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.